This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth and WA and the ABC Listener.
And it's good morning from her.
And it's good morning from them.
Yes. How are they?
They be very good this morning because it's a cracking. I got up at like 5, went out into the garden.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Honestly, if ever Dawn. You feel like the world's a nasty, horrible, depressing place, don't.
You're not wrong.
Don't look at the news for a week. You'll be relieved. Go out in your garden, sit there, and have a little look around.
And
I saw assassin bugs.
What is
this morning?
What's an assassin bug? It assassins things.
It does. It sneaks up behind stuff, and it's got this probe, and it pierces the animal from behind their head.
Ooh.
And it injects this dissolving solution, and then the other side of that, it sucks it out like a milkshake. Now, assassin bugs are great to have if you've got thrips. Not so good if you're a spider because they do like spiders. But you can't – they're ugly looking things. They look like
how
an assassin.
Are
they? Oh, they're tiny, like however big that is, 1 millimetre, 2 millimetres?
Half a centimetre.
Half a centimetre. I'm not very good with maths. And what else did I see? I saw lots of baby lizards. I saw geckos. I saw a bazillion birds all eating the nectar.
Did you just sit or were you actually doing a bit of weeding?
Well, no, I always have to pull a weed, you know. I don't sit, rarely ever sit. No, I just wandered about, cup of tea in hand. Mm. And I just thought how glorious and how lucky I am to have this little piece of heaven where Donald Trump can never enter. That's what
That's
I was thinking.
Perfect. Can I go home now on that note?
Yeah.
Can you just run the rest of the show? We've had an extraordinary situation arise where one of our emergency staff is keen to ask you a question. They're a little bit like, am I allowed to ask Sabrina a question? So they recorded it for you. So let's have a listen.
How beautiful.
Hi, Amber and Sabrina. What a treat to talk to you both. Long-time listener, first-time caller. My name's Jen and this message is coming to you from Bega on the far south coast of New South Wales. Now, as a member of the ABC emergency broadcast team, I get to listen to a lot of different local radio programs, making sure that we're across all the warnings that need to happen. And that often includes Perth and Western Australia. So it's an absolute delight when I get to hear you both on Roots and Shoots. So wanted to join in, and I do have a legitimate question. I've been gifted some West Australian orchids, a couple of beard orchids, really unsure as to how to look after them and keep them happy, aside from protecting them from any bigger frosts. But other than that, help, please.
Help is at hand.
Oh, Jen,
yes,
how
so
lovely.
Nice.
We're all a big family here. It doesn't matter where you live in Australia, does it? Or even overseas, for that matter.
Yeah.
Okay, Jen. Now, all of our orchids, apart from the ones up north, are terrestrial orchids, meaning they're not like tropical orchids where they grow out of trees and stumps and stuff. My suggestion to you would be to actually keep it in a pot, and you can replant it into bigger pots, but you will need to do that at the end of summer. Definitely protect it from frost. Don't fertilise it. If you can, I mean, burning helps, but I wouldn't suggest that at this stage. I would just keep it in a pot, make sure you don't overwater it. You could give it a little bit of native slow-release fertiliser and make sure that the pot is always draining. It can't be a pot in a pot where it soaks up the water. And because you're part of the ABC family, Jen, I'm going to send you via the email a big thing on bearded orchids from Kings Park.
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, that Fronds with Benefits is open. That is our free matchmaking service. It's not successful. It's important to point that we haven't successfully matchmade anyone.
Well, no one said. I mean, people may have met up.
It might be poor subscription. I don't know. But if you'd like to send a Fronds with Benefits gardening dating profile, feel free to do that. Also, men who prune too much, you are welcome here today. 1-300-222-720. You can go by another name.
If you want to be anonymous. So Amber did send me the most beautiful little video of a man who pruned too much. It was a tree that would have been about 2 metres high.
If that.
And so this guy had all the tree climbing gear on, all the safety gear, and this bloody great big chainsaw, and was pruning off.
Hanging off the tree. Hanging off a tiny tree. And just like decimated it.
But it was a good illustration of men who do prune too much.
We did enjoy it very much. Now, how do things work up here again? I believe Corinne is in Esperance. Good morning, Corinne.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Very well, Corinne.
Very good. I have a question about a saltine grass.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
My husband put it in the mid-90s in our backyard.
Yep.
And it went okay, but it was a bit patchy.
Yeah.
In the mid-2000s, we then dug it out and planted a Sir Walter Buffalo.
Yeah.
But then, since then, the saltine is back and there's no buffalo and it's still patchy and horrible. How do we get rid of it?
What happened to the buffalo?
The saltine just took over again.
Okay. All right. Now, the good thing for you is that you've got – so the saltine is a fine leaf grass and buffalo is a broadleaf grass.
Yep.
So you need to get a selective herbicide that just kills the fine leaf, not the broadleaf.
Yeah.
So there are things that there are selective herbicides that will have things written like safe for buffalo on them.
Yeah.
So that's what you will need. And you'll probably need to do a couple of sprays.
Okay. Yep.
Yep.
Do we dig it out or anything like that after it's dead?
Do you want to go to that trouble?
We're not sure.
I tell you what you do, Corinne, is you dig a patch out and go, how hard was that? Then you kind of decide whether you're going to do, 100 square metres or just a metre.
Yeah.
So you'll know if it's dead, like fully dead. The stolons, of course, they're pretty hardy, so you want to really make sure it's dead. And quite often when you dig it up, that's not going to be enough anyway. I would just do a couple of repeat sprays.
Yep. Cool. Mm. Awesome.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Corinne. Thanks for calling in. 1-300-222-720 is the number. We have a couple of lines free. Rodney has called in. Hi, Rodney.
Ah, good morning. Look, thanks for taking the call. Sadly, my neighbour passed away 6 weeks ago and I'm tending her garden for the family at the moment. Aww. But I'm only just really sweeping the leaves up off all of the areas. Her garden was surrounded with 20-metre mature trees, loads of trees, natives, hibiscus, peppermints, and she used to spend a fortune having people in to scrape the lawns and the actual garden beds themselves. Can I leave the leaves on the garden beds as a natural mulch?
Absolutely.
Rather than scrape them away.
Yeah, definitely. Now if it's the cottonwood hibiscus, with a dark leaf and it has the yellow flower, is that the one that she's got?
No, this is a very light green hibiscus with a big pinky-looking flower. Yeah.
Okay. So, Rodney, what you do is you go and get yourself a big bucket of blood and bone, and as the leaf litter builds up, you sprinkle that on, water it in, and the nitrogen will break the leaf litter down.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
great.
I never waste a single leaf. I always use leaves as a mulch on my garden unless it comes from eucalypt trees.
All right.
Or a fiddlewood.
All right. I was hesitant to mention pruning because I'm going to get someone in to do a heavy prune around the garden. Because there's ivy growing everywhere. How do you get rid of you don't get rid of it, but it's
no,
it just seems
persistence,
to be overtaking everything.
Poison and persistence, I'm afraid.
Right.
The two, okay. Perseverance, poison, persistence. The three P's of...
All right.
Richard, Rodney, good luck with that and good on you for looking after your neighbour's garden.
Oh, no, how lovely is that?
That's Rodney. Thanks, Rodney. And Margaret is in Busselton. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Sabrina, I have been given a lovely big bunch of this gorgeous bougainvillea, which is a thornless.
Yep.
It's got these huge racks of flowers.
Beautiful.
I'm wondering whether I can... propagate from that now, or can I propagate bougainvillea and if I can get cuttings later in the season?
Okay, so with bougainvilleas, any time from September on is a good time. Now, you need to take the cuttings that are pencil thickness, and they need to be about 20 to 30 centimetres long. And you dip them in hardwood cutting and start them off in a propagation mix, which is basically sand and coir peat. And you keep them covered, keep up humidity, and they strike very easily.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
The other thing, one is a desert rose, because I've got one that's got this great long...
seed pod.
One stem.
Yeah.
No, one stem.
Stem.
Yes. Can you cut that off and...
Yes, yes. There's a fine line between them rotting and rooting. Rotten and rooting. So you need to dip that in, if you can get a soft, softwood hormone gel, and you need a very, very porous, like basically sand, propagation mix to put them in, and you need, the big trick there is humidity. So if you get one of those polystyrene boxes and you put the mix in that and jab some holes in the bottom, lift it up off the ground and then cover it with the top of the lid that you've cut out and just put like glad wrap or something over the top.
Okay.
But you've got to be very careful. No, you've got to mist it, not hose it. Otherwise, they just rot.
Yeah.
Good time to do it now.
Yeah. And does that sort of apply to, like, euphorbia milii, you know, those...
yeah, all the euphorbias, anything with a milky sap, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
Thanks, Margaret. Kathy asks, what's wrong with fiddlewood leaves?
Oh, okay. So fiddlewoods are a beautiful tree, and it's actually it's a very large tree, and that's what the wood was used to make fiddles, hence the name. They don't sing or play to you at night time, unfortunately, as a tree. Quite boring, really. But they drop their leaves three times a year, and the leaves are very waxy, so they're like a eucalypt leaf. They just don't break down.
There you go.
So I've got, my neighbour's got one, and we love it and hate it all at the same time because it drops three times a year. And I'm talking knee-deep drop of leaves. Yeah.
Okay, and what do you do with them? Where do you take them?
I used to run over them with the mulcher, the mulching electric lawnmower.
Yes.
And then I tried putting them through a mulcher, but the mess was unbelievable. So now they go in the compost heap with lots of poo.
Okay, and that breaks them down.
Yeah.
And Bernie and Corrine is, I think, asking a similar question. You just mentioned that perhaps sweep up the eucalyptus leaves. Is that true? If so, what on earth do you do with all of the eucalyptus leaf litter on the ground? So
okay.
Similar?
Now, with eucalyptus leaves, you are better if you can shove them through a mulcher, and the same thing. So people that live up in the hills, they have these big cages, and the trick with that is, again, blood and bones. So you stack it. If you can break the leaf up, even better. So you stack it up. So you're going to put it up to about 40 centimetres high. Then you're going to put 3 cups of blood and bone, water it, and then layer it and keep going like that. And after a year, you'll be able to use the mulch.
There we go. Two blood and bone references already. Do we have a vote for Hoof and Horn?
If anyone knows where you can get bloody Hoof and Horn, as long as it's not pig's trotters in a bowl for dinner.
You'd be happy to know?
I'd be happy to know. I loved Hoof and Horn. That's what they used to use on all the indoor plants and all the ferns.
There we go. Mm. Beth is in Bonnyfield. Good morning, Beth.
Hi, ladies.
Hello, Beth. How is beautiful Bonnyfield today?
Well, I'm actually in Perth. I've just been to the markets.
Ah.
I have a bad confession to make.
Oh, so confess away. Go ahead, my child.
So I put a whole bag of moo poo on my orange tree, and then it got very hot and it totally sizzled. I'm assuming that's what happened. Was it just the hot weather?
Well, I don't know. I put bags of moo poo in my entire garden bed before the heat wave, and mine have thrived. But
it was very, very hot. So would it be I did water it, and I watered it every other day, but will it come back?
Yeah, it will, and it'll love you. It's just kind of a little bit of too much love and a little bit of squeezing the hug in a bit too tight. So the trick with that is, when you're going to get a heat wave and you've just put poo down, and don't forget poo is slow release and usually doesn't burn, but it's water. You've got to water it in. But your orange tree will recover, but keep up the watering, Beth.
Even though all the leaves have totally
fallen off,
died on it.
Yeah, they just fall off. They escape the tree. I like to say it's when the leaves escape the tree. But you'll get new leaves coming back. You won't have killed it, I promise.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. And now you've created quite a bit of panic with your certain leaf business.
Yeah.
Jill from Mandra says, why did you single out using cotton hibiscus as mulch?
Because I hate them, but I have so many calls about cottonwood trees. Number one, their root system. Number two, that the leaves never break down. And if you look at the leaf on that, they're really, really, really waxy. Okay. They are so overused. People use them as a screening plant with no care for their neighbour, because the root system of Hibiscus tiliaceus rubra, or the cottonwood, is horrendous, and it will seek out any bit of plumbing within half a kilometre.
Wow.
So it is one of the most utilised screening plants, but I'm telling you now, it is a major problem, and
they're
the leaves
fast
don't
growing
break.
And they thrive on neglect, so I can understand that. I had some, I took them out.
Yep.
Now, what mulch is suitable for lemon myrtle in half a wine barrel?
I would use the lupin hay or pea straw. It's what I'm trying to say. It's what I'm trying to get out here.
Yeah, I knew what you meant, I think.
My little lemon myrtle is just blooming at the moment. Smells so lovely.
I just had a wave of affection for your face.
Darling.
I do love Sab's time in here. Good morning, Helen. What's going on with your boob?
Boob.
I thought it said boobs. I was going to say, what's going on with your boobs?
Well, you can tell us about those as well if you like, Helen. We're a counselling service here.
Good morning, ladies. I listened to you a couple of weeks ago talking excitedly about boab trees.
Yeah.
And like that person, I too, living in Derby for a while, picked up nuts. And my question is not how to propagate them, because they're quite easy.
Yeah, they are. But don't tell people that. They can't do it, Helen, because you make them feel really bad.
What did you say?
I said, don't tell people how easy they are to propagate, because some people haven't been able to do it and they'll now feel really bad.
Okay. But my question is this. When you've propagated them, what do you do with them? I mean, where can you grow a Boab tree in Perth when it's come down from Derby or Broome?
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. What you do, you have to keep them in a pot for at least 6 to 20 years.
Oh, okay.
So what you do is once they've germinated and they're seedling size and they get to about – now, the trick is not to put them in too big a pot too soon. So you gradually build them up into bigger pots as they grow and the root system extends to the edge of the pot, okay? If you try and pot them up into bigger pots too early – then they usually die. But you have to replicate wet dry. So in our summer you want to water them, and then in winter you've got to protect them from the cold and the water. That's it.
Well, I've done everything right except potting it up into a larger pot.
You go.
And it doesn't look really healthy. The top half has died, but it's got two new shoots right down at the bottom.
Where there's life, there's hope.
Exactly. Fun. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Helen.
Thanks, Helen. Peter in Kalamunda has written you a poem.
Oh, how lovely.
And it goes a little something like this. It would be a pleasure to meet the Lady of Leisure, as she sounds like she's a real treasure.
Oh.
And he says he texted this in years ago when you were on air with Camo.
Oh.
And referred to yourself as a Lady of Leisure.
Oh. I wonder when that was. Must have been just one day. In the entire year.
Ray is in Margaret River. Hello, Ray.
Hi. Just inquiring about it. It may be quite high. We've got a good crop, weather good this year, but when you pick the apricots, they don't last very long. It's only go rotten very quickly.
All right, Ray. So the trick with that is to get in early, because once you've got the rot in the tree, it's a bit late to do anything. So at bud burst is when you need to use a copper-based spray.
Yeah, I put a lot of Epsom salts in it last year. Well, I thought it might do some good, but didn't.
No, that Epsom salts is magnesium, won't do anything for a fungus, which is what you had or do have.
Yeah.
Well, your tree, not yourself. So copper-based spray as soon as you see bud burst, Ray.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I use copper spray on the mangoes and done a pretty good job on them too.
Yeah.
Okay, good luck with that, Ray. Okay. Thank you for calling in. Okay. Who have we got now? We have Ian in the Vines. Hello, Ian. What's your question for Sab?
Oh, good morning, lady. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, Ian.
Sorry, I didn't put you on audio. Sorry. I'm going to have a bit of an interview with second opinion.
Ian, can you take us off whatever you did? The audio goes really...
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, that's better.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, 30 years ago I had garlic plants.
Yep.
And I put them around roses.
Yep.
Now, with chili thrip...
Yep.
There's, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not a solution yet. They're still working on it.
Yeah.
Is it possible to plan as an experiment to get some roses and do a trial on garlic plants and just plant them around the roses? They may have that pungent smell.
Yep. A lot of people have done that. So a lot of rose growers particularly ones that have years of experience behind them, as in old buggers, they have always planted garlic around roses. And also the other thing that seems to work is society garlic, which is not a true garlic, but it has pretty blue flowers. So, yeah, I would definitely give that a shot, Ian.
Is there also possible to actually get pure garlic chives, put them in a 40-gallon drum and actually leave them for about 3 or 4 months and use that as a liquid as well?
You could try it. Absolutely. Thrips don't, well, I know people that have tried that, and for chili thrips it hasn't seemed to work because maybe the chili thrips have come over from Italy or Europe where they like a little bit of garlic on their tucker.
Great feedback. Thanks, lady.
Okay. Thanks, Ian.
Briefly, when I came back from London in 1991, I was waitressing at a place called Oriole in Subiaco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was quite a posh place back then, and very Western suburbs ladies mm-hmm. in there. A lot of pigeons in the outside. And I used to tell the ladies that they were imported Italian cafe pigeons, and they believed me.
Because you eat a lot of pigeon, particularly in France.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So, that's so believable.
Danny in Bullsbrook has gone to great lengths to stop birds from getting to his mangoes, Sabrina.
Yeah, now...
he's on the line.
Danny is on the line, and he's... he works with my daughter, and he was telling Jess about the woes of the people, the things that came to share his mango tree, and it's a cracker. Like, the mango tree is huge.
I'm looking at a photo of it. He's on the top of the Everest of mango trees.
Well, it looks like it could be Danny on the top.
In a yellow sou'wester.
No, it's in high vis. So, Danny, tell us about what lengths you've gone to protect your mango tree there, mate.
Well, Sabrina, how you going? I've gone to a lot of lengths to save him, but the mangoes, because they haven't ever got them before. This is the first year they've been taking them. Mm. And I got his name was Russell on his last job.
Yeah.
But... So I've had to change it. He came from Armidale, right?
So right.
He came, and he didn't come with an arm or a hand.
When we right? say he, what you
they
saying?
Came later, but his fingers came in a plastic bag. So I didn't want to ask what his job was. Right. So, but I've changed. I think it's going to be Mick Mango.
Oh, Mick Mango.
So, no, tell people what, Danny, because I said it looked like you on the top of the tree. Is it a dummy that you've jerried up?
He's a mannequin. He started off in a shop window, and he's progressed to different jobs. But I didn't want to ask him what his Armidale job was. But now he's looking after me mangoes.
Yeah.
But when you look at him closely now, he seems more of a Michael, not a Mick.
Oh, yeah, I think he's definitely a Michael because he's got that beautiful mullet wig on,
yes,
Danny.
Yes,
That makes him look very special. And I notice he's in a bit of high vis there as well, which is probably good.
You think? Yeah, I think they'll put it this way, this morning.
Yeah.
They weren't in the tree, but they were in a bird bath that I put there for these little purple wrens.
Ah. Oh.
And they're in there now, so I don't know if the bird bath's a good idea. They're getting a feed and a drink.
Maybe with Michael, the mango mm-hmm. protector of all mankind, what's he going to be like in a strong wind? Because he's right at the very top of the tree, Danny. Yeah. Have you tethered him to it?
Yeah, no, I've braced him. He's a big pole going to the ground.
he's got a pole up the wazoo.
Yes, he has, yeah, where his torso used to be, I suppose.
Well, I want you to keep us up to date, Danny, with Michael's effectiveness of keeping away the bird. How big is that tree, though? She's a whopper.
Oh, yeah. And it'd have to be 15 foot.
Yeah, and it looks like it's 15 foot wide as well.
Yeah, it is. It's 31 years old.
And it's only just getting fruit.
No, this is the only time the parrots have ever. I've never touched it in all those years.
Yeah,
which
parrots are they? The rainbow lorikeets? The 22s. Oh, 28s. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The only problem with that for you, well, for Michael, the mango protector, is that birds learn by behaviour that's passed through the family groups.
Oh, no.
So Danny might need to be armed. I mean, Michael, the mango protector, might need to be have more arms, Danny.
Yeah, right. Well, see, well, what family are they going off? Because I've never really done it before.
Well, the presumably there was more than one that arrived.
Yeah. Oh, there's heaps of them there. Now, this is the time where they get everything, which I think they can have everything else, but they can't have any mango.
No, well, I reckon Michael, I tell you what, the mullet alone would be enough to frighten a flock of birds. So, Danny, can you keep us posted on the success and the effectiveness of Michael, the mango protector?
I will do.
Thanks, Danny. Good on you, mate. It's a very delightful picture that we're looking at. Let me have a look here now. Josh is in Willoughby. Hi, Josh. What's your question for Sab?
G'day, Sab and Amber. How you guys
Hello, going? Josh.
What's going on?
I was just saying how wonderful the G looked this morning, Josh.
Yeah, it's looking pretty nice considering we're got all those holes everywhere from the tower.
I know. I think they keep putting letter drop in saying we'll be at you soon, but that's been going on for 2 years now, so I'm not holding my breath. But I am a bit worried they're going to dig up all my verge, and that's where my boab is, Josh.
Yeah, well, we got a big native verge as well, and we just found out the other day that they're going to be putting a power pole a metre and a half to the left of a council jacaranda tree. So, they'll have to keep coming trimming that and stuff. So,
yeah, they will.
We'll have to come up with a plan to move it or I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what can we do for you, Josh?
We've got a bit of a mozzie problem around our house.
Yeah.
Obviously, the frogs aren't doing their job in the ponds and eating the larvae.
Yeah.
What sort of plants can I put in to get rid of the mosquitoes?
Now, the big problem there is, Josh, that you'd need like a hectare of plants around. Now, I have micro bats in my big tree and they do a really, really, really good job of cleaning up the mozzies. The other thing you can do is lay traps down. So traps are like a body of water, and every 3 days because they'll lay in there, every 3 days you tip the water out. So just shallow dishes, but you have to be onto that all the time. The other thing is pyrethrum mozzie coils, but they love humidity, they love damp wood, they love where you've got whole clusters of plants together. But there are two species of microbats in the G, and if you can get a couple of bat boxes up, you will find
that we got one already, but I don't know if they're coming to it. So maybe
so the big thing to do is on your largest, tallest tree, put an uplight. Turn it on at, say, 8 o'clock at night. Leave it on. You can put a timer on it. Leave it on until 2 a.m. All the insects go to that light at night, and the bats know where to get the insects, and mosquitoes will go to the light as well, and they just come in. It's like watching some beautiful trapeze act. I sit out at midnight and watch the bats just come and get all the insects.
And so that's an ongoing thing? It comes on every night? That's amazing.
Yeah, and it's on a timer because it's not good. I've got owls, and it's not good for the owls to have, mind you, the owls eat insects as well, so they come and get the insects. But not to have it on all night, Josh. So get an uplight. Yep. And and maybe move your bat box if you're not getting critters.
Yeah. It's kind of like on the eastern side of our we have a lemon-scented gum out the front of our joint.
Ah, so same.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck with that, Josh. Thanks for
calling. Anyway, Josh, good idea.
Yeah, no worries. Also, can I give a quick shout-out? Can I give a shout-out to Joe McKenzie in Cottesloe, please?
Of course you can. Is it her birthday or something?
No, just give her a shout out. Why not?
Hi, John McKenzie in Cottesloe.
Have a good day.
Josh says hi.
All right, you guys too.
Thanks, Josh. See ya.
Nola is in Bunbury. Hi, Nola.
Hello, my friends. Hope you're both well.
We are.
So Now, Sab, I'm trying to to learn how to do bonsai.
Yeah.
And but I want to do Australian natives, or particularly West Australian natives. And I wondered if there is anything you could recommend that might be suitable.
There are so many. Melaleucas, because they've got those very small leaves, lend themselves very, very well to bonsai. Okay. Now, there is a book called using Australian natives for bonsai.
Okay.
And the Bonsai Society as well, the West Australian Bonsai Society, they put out an information sheet at one point in time using Australian natives for bonsai.
Okay. Now, a lot of stuff that I am able to get hold of, obviously through YouTube and whatever, talks about Akadama and, you know, and all the different inorganic stuff. But I reckon you'd be watering, in our climate, you'd be watering five times a day. So I think
Misting. I would be... well, with the Akadama, then you'd need to three times a day in our heat.
So that's what I'm thinking. I'd sort of say, well, okay, that's okay for you up north, in the northern hemisphere, but we need organic soils here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep, you're on the money there.
I've got a few started, lily pilly, and I've got tea tree. And,
oh, cool. You know,
I'm just buying little small plants.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Throwing my hand.
Good on you, Nola.
All right. Thank you, mate.
Thanks
Bye.
For calling in. See ya. Wayne is in Boulder. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning.
Hello, Wayne.
How you going? I have some pomegranate trees.
Yeah.
They were put in years ago by my mother. She bought them from Bunnings because they were just about dead, so she got them cheap.
Yeah.
Whatever she planted grew.
Great.
Only they're skinny. They're about 12 foot tall.
Yeah.
About an inch in diameter for the, the trunks.
Yeah.
And then sort of like groups of three.
Yeah.
And the pomegranates come out about the size of half the size of a tennis ball.
Oh, right. Okay.
How do you make them bigger?
Now, are they in the ground?
Yes.
Okay, so the thing about pomegranates is they really like free-draining soil. And Kalgoorlie Boulder, I lived there for 5 years and I don't think I ever used a spade. I only used a crowbar.
Yep.
And a stick of jelly when a big hole was required back in those days. You could, of course. So you will need to somehow try and improve the drainage, Wayne. So you can do that by digging a trench with a crowbar around the pomegranates and filling that trench just with potting mix.
Oh, yep.
And then get some gypsum. And put gypsum down there, and I think you'll find that that'll improve things.
Good.
Yep.
They get plenty of them on there.
And do they fully ripen?
Yeah, they fully ripen.
Yep.
And the problem with them is you get a bit of rain and they split.
Oh, yeah.
Because they get too big.
Yeah. Anyway, try that, Wayne.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Chris is in Mandurah. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Yeah, very well, Chris.
I need help.
All right. Let's see what
You're
we can do.
You're in the right place.
Yeah. I've got these little fairy creatures that come out at night.
Yep.
There's hundreds of them.
Yep.
And they're about they're not even half an inch. There's some, they're different sizes. They're black on the outside and they're browny colour underneath.
Yeah.
And you get up in the morning and they died.
They've died?
Yeah, they seem to die. Like you get up in the morning and a lot of them are just like scattered all over.
They're vampires.
I reckon they're zombies. Yes.
It sounds like the Cape Lilac.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mind you, ours didn't die. They just go somewhere dark and then come out in your hat. Had them in a bag at the supermarket.
Oh, lovely.
One of my reusable shopping bags. Crawled out. Caterpillars crawled out of it. Check out chick was horrified.
She probably needs trauma counselling.
Oh, we're on a vacant block on either side of our two sides of the house.
Yeah.
And what we were finding the last few nights, we've got all the coloured lights going on day and night.
Yeah.
So I've been turning the lights off the last couple of nights and I've noticed I haven't got as many.
Yeah, that's a good move. Now, it could be that someone is spraying them, right? Because there's a bacteria that you can spray them with and it knocks them off pretty quick. So maybe that's they've come to you in their final fling. Because it's unusual. They're going, Chris,
yes.
I've got runny poos and my tummy's really sore. So, I mean, if they're coming to you and they're dying in their hundreds, there's nothing to worry about, really. But they're definitely, I would say they're the Cape lilac moth, and they're coming, someone sprayed them, and so they're on the move.
They're just everywhere. We walk out at night time, and you've got to stepping like you've got poo
everywhere. Don't.
Yeah, and they've got hairs all on them, and you don't really want them on your bare feet. No. But someone's definitely doing the work for you, so you just get to have to sweep up the dead caterpillars.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah, okay, but keep your lights off at night. Yep.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Every Saturday, you make me laugh.
That's what we want to do.
Darling, what a darling. People are so lovely, aren't
they? They are.
People are lovely. Des is in Mundaring. Des, are you lovely, Des?
Oh, yes, too right.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me how you're lovely.
Now we put you on the spot.
I've got a very healthy Adam Fig, and around this time of the year, all my neighbours suddenly become more sociable.
There you go. I see.
Marvellous. That's why you're lovely.
At least that is your first attribute on Fronds with Benefits.
Yeah, absolutely.
Got a good fig.
Yeah, it's a beautiful fig, heavily loaded. But this year, on the north side, the big dots on the leaves, all evenly spaced and also on part of the trunks. I'm wondering if I suppose it's a fungus.
Not a fungus, Des. Don't give it a fungicide. Won't do anything. I would give it either an oil-based spray, but not when it's above 33 degrees, or a potassium soap spray, okay? So what they are is they're a scale. They're a hard-bodied scale. Lots of figs have got them at the moment. So you need to suffocate them or squish them with your fingers, but if you've got a lot, your fingers are going to be pretty worn out by the end of the day. So you need to spray them. You're going to have to wait for a cool break in the weather, Des, and you need to spray twice, 2 weekly intervals.
So just spraying it at night when it's cool is not good enough.
No. They stick like bloody glue to the tree.
Right.
You won't be able to hose them off unless, Des, you have a high-pressure hose. Because the top bit, that crusty white bauble, the insects underneath that. Yeah, so they're cunning. So, but if you've got fruit on your tree blasting with a high-pressure hose, your fruit's not going to be looking too flash. Mind you, it might take the skin off.
Yeah, peel it for you. Peel my fig.
So I can't do it at night. It's got to be over a cool.
It's got to be a cool. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Okay, thanks, Des.
Thanks, Des. And Enid has called and we have a photograph of something. Enid, can you tell us what we're looking at?
Ooh, look at that.
It's garden art by the
looks of it. It's like you've put some glass jewellery attached to your tree.
What is it?
Oh, no.
Is it a hakea?
It's a large hakea, which they said was a medium-sized shrub, but it's really, it's nearly, I don't know, 20 feet high just about. It's very large.
Okay, so it's got a borer in it.
Ah, okay. Oh. So that's got to be chopped off, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And yes. I'd sooner rather than later, Enid.
Yes, it's just come out recently, but it's been pretty fast.
Yeah. So that crystalline growth that's come through, that's what the plant does in response to having a borer in it.
Ah, okay. So I think I'll need a good tree removal person because it's very tall.
Which hakea is it? Do you know?
Oh, look, no, I don't. It's got a small... in fact, it's the second hakea I've lost. I've lost a different one before. This one has absolute proliferation of little green flowers at flowering time.
Okay. The other thing is hakeas don't have a really long lifespan, so I don't know how old this one is, but...
Maybe 10 years.
They usually live longer than that, but it's definitely had borer still got borer in it.
Got it, yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for answering my question. Okay. I had a feeling it was going to disappear shortly somehow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Enid. Kim in York asked, what is the G?
Wow, Willa G.
Willa G.
We have our own personal Facebook page called the G Spot.
Oh. I should have been ready for our local community
Facebook group. We're a big community and we all support each other. It's a great place to live.
Okay. What's the best fertiliser for a lemon myrtle?
A native fertiliser.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it is a native plant from Queensland and New South Wales.
Should I be mulching with compost or lucerne or what on Scarborough sand? My poor garden hasn't had any yet. Should I put manure down first?
Yes, all of the above. Yes, definitely.
Okay. What else have we got?
We want it to get through the next heat wave and then the next one after that.
Now this one from John. I remember we were first house on Old Vineyard, Armidale on Albany Highway, widening pole survey peg right in front of path, middle of night he shifted peg, right hand didn't know.
This is referring to, of course, the underground power that's going on and power lines going up.
Oh, there we go.
Yes, now this is so true. Often the right hand will not know what the left hand's doing.
And this has been another edition of Roots and Shoots. We are so happy to have your company every week. It's a joy to speak to you and to get your questions and for me to sit there and watch her do all the work. I think that's the thing I love the most. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Saturdays from 9 o'clock.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth.
Or listen on your radio to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 720 AM.
You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Call us in the studio on 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back midweek to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating.
And share the episode with all your friends.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.